I don't know, but Joel, you gonna do anything with this audio? And here we are, right back at it at the BU Be Real podcast. It's your boy, the God, the one and only, might be two, I don't know, Joey fucking B. All right, we out here. It's the BU Bureau podcast. You already know him. We got my boy.
Got Los in the building, a.k.a. Live Love Los.
Huh? Let's go. Let's fucking get it. 007 over there. 007 over there. Nah, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. You know, we got two of the finest, dope people like I've genuinely met. EAs, more specifically, you know, use my boy that's like just straight genuine, doing things for the community, type of people that like I looked at and was like an example. So shout him out. He's here today, and we got his right hand man, Gene. You already know, paradigm in the building. Let's fucking get it. You know, we all about, you know, giving flowers back here in our show, and we just wanted to say it's like, as a collective, us two, we really appreciate the type of work that y'all putting in the community, the things that y'all showing as like as an example what it is to be a man out of the Bronx, out of Uptown. So this is what we all about, all right?
Two legends, man. Two upcoming legends.
Young goats.
Let me start off with saying I'm EA. Kick it off in the flesh. I'm a creative designer up here from the Bronx. I'm born and raised, been designing for about maybe 7 years now. Partake in a couple events, a couple collaborations, do digital art, do paintings, but have my hands in a couple of things. And Gene?
I'm Gene. I'm a designer based out of Uptown from Gun Hill, feel me, from the Bronx. I have a clothing brand. It's called Paradigm. I also work on graphics for like a bunch of people and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's dope, yo. So, you know, like, I think the best example that we can like show off coming from where we come from is like being a creative, you know, like being willing to, like, as you know, the podcast is called BU Be Real. So y'all like two examples of people that just like didn't stick to the norm. You know what I mean? Y'all followed like that instinct in y'all blood type shit where like y'all decided to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I guess to start off for like the listener standpoint, like where did y'all really get like y'all influence? Like from when y'all was like young to growing up, like how'd that happen?
So I grew up with my parents, and they were hardworking folks, and they always wanted us to be around, so I ended up being raised pretty much at a salon all day.
Ooh.
So that was really cool. It was like a first taste at all types of culture, all types of styles and things like that. You see people coming in with different aesthetics, and that really inspired me to kind of be expressive, being surrounded by a lot of empowering women, being surrounded by women who kind of like really went for what they wanted, you know, being surrounded by that type of space and always going against the grain. So my inspiration always like really, it really stemmed from that. And that's where it comes from, where like where my art, I translated from digital. I do digital art. I do paintings, and I also do community events like Patelito Fiesta and drinks like, you know, infused drinks and things like that. But it's always from that experience, doing what I want, and anything that's achievable is doable, you know.
Representation matters.
Pretty much my influence, like EA said, is pretty much just like my family. Looking back on like all the things that I've like done and everything that I'm trying to achieve, I realized that it's literally like my childhood, like trying to make those dreams come true kind of thing. Whatever I wanted from myself at like 4 or 5 is like what I'm striving for now. And it sounds crazy to say that, but,
Not too crazy.
I mean, at 28, you kind of like, damn, I really want the things I wanted at 4 or 5, but word. Like, that's it. So pretty much like EA, like I'm first generation Dominican. My parents came here. My mom like worked at a print shop, not printing clothes though, like printing like paper and magazines and stuff like that. So I grew up around like printing and people that have done graphic design and stuff like that all my life. Like, I was blessed because it's like not many first generation parents would like support the kind of stuff that I'm trying to do. Like, my mom's been really supportive throughout the whole process. If you ever bought any sort of Paradigm, like, and it has a Paradigm label on it, she probably sold it. Not probably, she did sew it in type. So she's like really been helpful throughout this entire process.
Nah, family support is everything too when it comes to, you know, trying to be your own boss.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially in our culture, yeah, or that kind of culture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Right.
You want to do your own thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, my mom be like, nah, I got this application for the MTA.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
That's always the,
yeah,
what they want you to do. You know, you get a city job, or you want a pension. Me home.
Yeah, I could. For real, I could relate to that because growing up, it was difficult for me to like really explain to my parents, especially like in high school, going to college, right? Explain to your parents that you want to go to a specific college for arts. Mm-hmm. First generation, my dad was looking at me. He's like, boy, you better be a lawyer. You better become this. You better be a doctor. And I'm like, I don't want to go to school for that. And I ended up choosing the path for a bit simply because I got a scholarship. And we were speaking about this earlier where like it's one of those things where when you go into it, you know you're going against the grain and you're not doing what you want, but you still go for it. You know what I mean? To satisfy your parents sometimes. And over time, it's a really genuine sensation for me, or at least a feeling that I'm going through right now where I'm old enough where now I'm doing whatever I want and I'm able to show my parents whether they like it or not. It's achievable. And over time, doing the events I do and like just doing the projects I do, especially with my art, I created a buy-in for my family where like, oh, my work speaks for itself. And now I have events where like my mom is pulling up and she's having patelitos with us and we all having like a fun time and they end up talking about it for times come in my family. And that's a really fulfilling feeling at least.
Yeah.
I want to touch on that too because I feel like my parents are the same way. I got to show and prove them. You know what I mean? They're not going to be supportive until you show them, like, oh, all right, you can be successful from, like,
that,
achieving what you want to do and doing what you want to do. So,
yeah. No matter what.
Yeah, like, cause my parents are the same way, first generation. Like, oh, you should go to school, become a nurse, do this, do that.
Yeah.
But you just got to show and prove them.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, kids, if you're listening, if you're going to sell drugs, prove to your parents that selling drugs is pretty good. Okay? This is what we do here. I want you to be you, be real. All right? Because it's anything is possible. That
one.
off the Rico.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool.
I mean to cut you off, Los, but like, I think y'all's touching on family dynamics. And Gene, I know that, like, you just released, like, you know, you have your own clothing line, but like you release a lookbook with your family. Like a lot of, you don't really see that. It's like being the models of the clothes or stuff like that. Like as a creative, that's like dope to see because you don't see that. Everybody gets models or like, you know, they have their boys or something like that. Not the family. Like that was dope. Like how was that process with like your family being a part of that project? Like,
so I'm naturally like the guy that plays the cut. I'm always like low key, don't like my face being seen kind of thing. So the idea of me ever even being in a lookbook sounded crazy. But so going back to what I said earlier about like wanting all of the things that you wanted when you were 4 or 5 years old, it kind of hit me probably like the December before that drop. Like, y'all want to do a like family lookbook. We haven't taken photos like that in forever since I was a kid. So Mm-hmm. Yeah,
got everybody like, fly.
So,
yo,
so like
got everybody fly real quick, yo.
As it turns out, right after that, probably like 2 months later, my grandma had passed, and that's when I like knew like nah, like I have to do this, you know. So if you look at that lookbook, like there's a photo of my grandmother there. She had just passed, so right before we had did that. But yeah, it was a cool process, you know. Like, I have my mom in the lookbook, like for my brand. Like, that's crazy. She's really the woman behind this. Like,
that's what's up, me. Bro. That's what's up, bro.
You put together too. Like, now, like the tables turned. Like, she was dressing you, probably. You know, you mm-hmm. had 4 or 5, and now you are
so
styling your mom.
If you notice, the name of the lookbook was called La Casa de Sara. So, obviously, Sara's my mom's name. I had brought pieces to my friend's crib from my crib, like a grandfather clock that we had or the table that we've had since, like, forever type shit. My fourth, I can't curse.
But, what? I just told kids to sell drugs. I think we'd be on cursing.
So, yeah, just, like, looking at those kind of things, like, a grandfather clock, like those are things that you pass down to your children, and it just goes back to the idea of like family and stuff like that, you know, just kind of wanting to be together with them.
I want you to put you on the spot, but like I want to know what Paradigm got coming.
Before we get into that, where
you
got the name Paradigm?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, let's get to that one.
Facts.
Hey, so.
That's different.
Yeah.
This is a story, man.
That guy right there.
So I ended up going to college. And at first, I went to Penn State. Mount Alto is one of the smaller campuses. And then I transferred. I went to Syracuse. I graduated from Syracuse. And when I was in school, I was like learning because I was a poli sci major. So more specifically, I focused on like political theory and the economy and stuff like that. So I always told myself, like, I want to make a clothing brand that like has an impact in the world, that is not just clothes. I was searching for a word that could mean like what I wanted it to mean, which was to create a shift in like the stuff I saw while I was writing that paper. Just social change, economic change, and environmental change. But I didn't know what it was. And one day I was sitting in a class and a professor had said it. I wrote it down. And then I had another class. It was completely unrelated, but the teacher said this word again, Paradigm. And I turned to the side and I told my friend, like, that's the name of the brand right there. So that's pretty much what I just ran with. And I just developed that over the years kind of thing.
I want to ask you a question. I was going to say, so like he's coming up with, you know, these designs based off like, you know, that what makes him, you know. I know you do creative work as well when it comes to, you know, like branding, you know, being that creative person with art, things of that sort. So like for you, what makes you that, like, as what he said makes him, what goes into your art, where do you get it from?
It depends, really. It really depends. That's an interesting question, because most of my work, or depending on like what we're talking about, right? Because my collaboration work, so the work I do with art and digital design overall, is normally a collaboration. You know, so I always value the difference with the person, and we somehow create, you know, common grounds, depending on what's the motive behind the event, what's the strategy behind it. But for like, for example, Patelito Fiesta is one of the events I do, and me and my whole team, or like literally a group of us, take the initiative to throw these events, and I just do the design. I'm like more like the low-key back of house type of guy. But I do the design for it, the marketing strategy for it, the collaboration between us. And the inspiration really comes from kind of similar to what Gene said, the culture, what's going on, hip-hop, where we come from. Some of the designs were things that were trending at the time. So I remember Hot Girl Summer was a thing, so we kind of did a imitation of that, you know?
Was it like an owl? Was it an owl?
It was more like the, remember the Megan Thee Stallion scene where she had a fiery back drop? Yeah, it was all flames in the back.
Okay.
And it was more like a collage of that because she wasn't...
Oh, okay. I know you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. So it was more like a collage of that because, you know, she for what she was representing at the time, it was a dope concept. And I was, and then also like the initiative behind it where the other time we did an event and it was curated around the ice cream truck. And we had a whole scene where like we had like little boat ice creams for the Patelito serving. We designed the whole... shirt collaboration, and it was pretty dope.
Yeah, that's a fact. That I remember that flyer, and that summer it was definitely some competition. It's definitely some kind of hot girl summer. It was hot boy summer, city boy summer. Yeah. That was a good time to be alive. city boy.
The return
2022 is about to be a hot boy summer. I wish the way I was living could stop serving rocks. Know when the cops is hot when I'm on the block. And I wish my brother would have made bail so I won't have to travel 6 hours to see him in jail. And I wish that my grandmother wasn't sick or that we would just come up on some stacks and hit a lick. And I wish my homies wouldn't have to suffer when the streets get the upper hand. Oh, man. Nah, that's dope, man.
That's normally where I get the source of inspiration. And then when it comes from my creative design, my own personal design, is really anything I want to really, anything I'm learning at the time. So I take these classes on my off time, and anything I'm exercising there or any type of concept that they got going on or anything I'm exercising, I kind of translate that through my art just to really vocalize and really express how I feel. But it's on my digital page on Instagram, really. That's how I like pump it out.
Nah, yeah, check out his page. It's EA himself on Instagram, and you know, just probably top five IGs out there, like from a creative outlook on it. It's fucking wild. So check that out when y'all got a chance, for sure.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, man. One thing I want to touch on, because I think, man, you nice, bro. Like I told you, you're a young goat. But what I picked up on was that you take classes too, so you're still educating yourself while you're still making your art. So like, man, how important is that? Like, you know, continue to learn and continue to be a student.
Yeah.
And bettering yourself, you know?
I feel like it's just exactly how you said, continuing to be a student, because at the end of the day, I feel like the more art you're able to flex, or the more art you're able to really exercise, the more you get to express yourself in different ways. Mm-hmm. And then once you kind of stick with something, it's almost like, in a sense, you end up translating your whole style into different type of arts, and you also end up exercising different type of arts at the same time. But I'm really big on like the Kobe mentality, where it's like constantly challenging yourself and constantly trying to grow in different ways.
R.I.P.
Big time influence, at least on the kind of routine I try to build and things like that. But that's normally where I kind of like draw my inspiration from when it comes to like my personal design.
Mm-hmm. And he said that too. He said it, you know, still mama mentality, but different profession. It's like, unfortunately, we didn't get to see like his trajectory and like what he was about to do. Because nice. From a creative standpoint, like Kobe was really a creator too. So like, yeah. He said the same thing. Like, it's just, you know, a different profession, but still the same mentality, same attention to detail. So
The few animations he launched, and even the storytelling, the stories that he launched during this short time, they were outstanding. Mm-hmm. And it's I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, he won an Oscar.
Crazy.
Got Kobe, man.
I got the Kobe Mamba mentality book. I used to read a page a day. That should definitely help me like align my focus, because it really talks about like all the trials and tribulations, the wear and tear, and like moments in his career. And it's like Kobe, like, writing it, like, oh, this is when I was, you know what I mean? So it's like, you read it in Kobe voice. And it's, I call that shit the fucking Bible, bro. Dead ass. All right, so, you know, here you are telling us your inspiration, the drive, the hustle, and, you know, y'all been doing it for some years now, of course. You know, for any people out there listening, like, what's a lesson that you learned throughout your journey as doing the things that you guys are doing? like a lesson, like a
damn,
a valuable, yo, my man.
I wish
stay in school, like shit like that, like you know what I mean.
One gem I wish I really would had at least like had drilled in me early, like early on in age is 80% of success is just showing up. I read that somewhere. I don't know. It's somebody famous at that. I think it was Woody Allen or something like that. And just getting rid of those like personal hurdles, whether it's like I was thinking about like mental health overall, where like some people get caught up in like day-to-day depression, you know, and really taking ownership of that. And whether it's like, you know, taking your vices, you know, doing things or like going out and things is really like sometimes is an escape mechanism. Or sometimes like even being in the crib, chilling, watching Netflix, you know what I mean? If you take those considerations and kind of like take those hurdles away and just show up every single day and do what you got to do, pump out art or get in front of the screen to design, whether it's coding, whether it's reading a book, whether it's writing, whatever it is, just take a bit of a day, do it 1 or 2 hours a day and just do it. And over time, that's going to definitely show out.
Dope. Gene, what about you? Like, yo, real talk though. I know it's crazy, but y'all gotta follow this man. We haven't not yet said the IG to Bad Time. where they gonna follow? Because we gotta start putting the brand out there. This man is one of the littest designers in New York City. Is one of the littest designers in New York City, bro. And his IG is at 600. We trying to get that shit to 2 billion in a year.
Yo, he, I'm telling you.
2 billion,
me,
nigga.
Facts. And he showed me a page. I'm like, bro, there's no way this page got 60. Every piece was heat, bro. I need parts of all of them, man, for real.
Follow paradigm.usa. That's all. You feel me?
Oh, word? I guess that's like the perfect segue into the next question. Is like, what I know you got Patelito Fiesta coming up. That shit is fucking dope for anyone listening. If you hear Patelito Fiesta, make sure you cop tickets. All right,
coming soon. I'm so excited. We got the spot and location's coming soon too. It's more to come, and it's a big location. It's gonna be a lot of Patelitos. We're gonna have some comebacks, pollo guisado in the patelito. We're going to have lasagna in the patelito. We're going to have Cubans in the patelito. We're going to have Bernese in the patelito. Hashtag no raisins. No raisins and no patelito. So if you want... If you're one of those, not the party for you, not the fiesta for you, but definitely, it's definitely an event to be at least. The vibe is going to be great. People end up networking over computers. People end up networking over music, flavors. I'm telling you, it's a dope vibe.
Definitely a dope vibe. As someone who's been there, you know, put them on, bro. Put them on. Patelito Fiesta. You get patelitos that you they never had in your life. Your mom unlimited. Never making these. I'm sorry.
And you have sauces to go with those. And it's one of those things where when we do launch them, we launch them with desserts. Some desserts had like honey banana froster. We had apple pies. We had candy yams. So anything. Anything unimaginable, put on a patelito. We always launch up different different flavors every event. Always specialized flavors, and we post up. Definitely follow us. The page is Patelito Fiesta on Instagram, and it's really the chef behind it is all Robert Acosta. So he has a page called El Carabo, and that's the man behind that's the genius behind all those Patelito Fiesta, and it's life-changing. It's mind-boggling, and I'm telling you, when you pull up,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's unexpected. The candy yams on fire.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yo, hit. I ain't never hide. Because you know what's crazy? Is that as I'm online to get, you know, Patelitos or whatever, I see there's just candy yams left. I'm like, all right. Oh, no, actually, not a lot. There was a few left, But the one that I wanted, there was no more. So I was like, all right, give me the candy ends. Niggas was front on the candy ends. Ate that shit. I was like, oh, shit. What the fuck? That was the third. They gave you three, right? They give you three. I eat my two. I forgot what it was. But I get to the third one, eat it. I'm like, nah, let me get back online. Niggas is fronting on the candy yams. Rob is a fucking goat, bro. He's a goat, bro. Like, when it comes to chefs, this nigga is just, he's killing it. I don't know what he's doing, but beastie, bro.
He's A1. He's he was a senior executive chef for the Yankees, and he was doing that for a little bit. And it's crazy because in our upbringing, like being Dominican, and we could relate a lot because he's also first gen. Me and him pretty much been friends since high school, grew up together, and just seeing him evolve from chopping it up at Deli's.
Chopping it up at Deli's?
Literally. Chopping up at Deli's.
He was working at Deli's, or he was chopping it up like with them, like
chopped cheese.
Nah, my boy was working out at Deli's, until like really working to translate into restaurants, working his way up to Yankees, and now he moved over to Florida and like having a family and still managing like work life balance is crazy. And to see where he's at and these events translate where we came from, where we all can resonate, because at the end of the day, for example, we had a Tres Golpes Pastelito last time, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's everything that we could translate through culture and like where we came from, where we came from, and it's dope, it's fire, it's almost unexplainable, because it's like, to an extent, anything you could relate to, you know, translated through food, whether it's pollo guisado, whether it's salami guisado, whether you name it, we try to put it in the Pastelito, or we're gonna try to put it in the Pastelito.
Bro, you made me hungry right now, bro. God damn.
When you say Tres Golpes Pastelito, like all three, is it one Pastelito?
You got the plantain, you got the salami, you got the cheese. Damn. I mean, no eggs, because you said.
All in one?
Yeah, all in
one. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's yep. And the bite, in one bite.
Yo, one thing I want to ask you too, like, how do you even start, like, the Pastelito fiesta? Like, what was the, like, damn, we going to throw a party, we going to serve all these Pastelitos, like.
Yeah, the initiative behind it was really a collaboration between me, one of the Pastelito heads. This man is a genius, Misa, and Rob, and just a collaboration. Every time we would get together, smoke, get smacked, Rob would go to the kitchen, throw down, come up with some shit. Mm-hmm. Every single time. So we would always pull up to his crib, or every time we pull up to one of his family events, his family threw down in the kitchen, and we were like, yo, we have to do something with this. Like, how can we share this? Like, this is crazy. And the event that we always went to events at the time, where it was at Apartment 78 growing up, and that shit was popping.
Legendary spot.
Bro, crazy. Spot, and yeah. You had events, Pizza Zoo coming up. That was also popping, and like participating in those events, we were always like in the limbo. We were like, wow, how can we give back? How can we like manage this? And a collaboration of all three, where like we literally were bouncing ideas one day, smoking up, and said, let's do it. We launched the first one. It was a wave. Everybody loved it. And we were able to translate what we wanted, you know, our culture and everything through Pastelito, whether it was like, you know, people pulling up from work, whether it was like, you know, different type of coaches pulled up. And it was dope because everybody shared that connection. And it was a vibe. It was a vibe, you know.
Yeah, that's dope. And they started off just, you know, being in the crib, like it's a real genuine vibe, you know what I mean? And you capitalized off it, so.
We wanted to take what we were tasting in grandma's saying, kitchen. Yeah. It's crazy, bro. It's nuts. Yeah,
that's dope.
It's dope. Man. To be able to do that, to like Joel's point where like candy yams.
Right.
Crazy,
bro.
It's a different vibe.
Like, if I could get that for like lunch, like once a week, yeah, I'm a happy man, bro. I'm a happy man, bro. Like, oh my God, I miss it. I'm tired. I'm missing the next one. I'm tired. I'm being California.
I'm gonna see if I can freeze up some Pastelito for you.
Yo, please, bro. Please. What's on the menu for this one?
Ooh, so we got I mentioned earlier pollo guisado. We got our traditional batting third is gonna, I mean, our traditional batter is batting third. Our traditional batter is, we're gonna have a chicken, we're gonna have cheese, probably you know, four cheese, kind of like a multi cheese combo. We're gonna have lasagna in there. We bring them back by popular demand. We bring back salami guisao, which is a hit. Chopped cheese is definitely gonna be a patelito, cause why not? And that's all I know off the top of my head. Right?
That pollo guisao is definitely gonna be the first one. The chopped cheese bus.
That's the first one to go normally. We're like, oh, damn, it's normally, and it's something we double up. I think the most patelitos we done for an event was like almost 3,000 patelitos one time. Jeez. And they all went out.
Cheese the first to go?
Always.
Well, I'm convinced I'm the only nigga from New York that don't like chopped cheese. Like, I really don't fuck with chopped cheese. Like, I don't see the hype with chopped cheese.
It's chopped cheese, it's bro. What you talking about?
Horace Park, letting y'all know right now, the crack spot. They make the best chopped cheese.
Is it on the corner?
So Gene, I guess what's what kind of collections you got in the works or coming up for Paradigm?
My first collection.
It's gonna be the first? Oh yeah. Shit! This is the one that's gonna take over.
I'm not saying all that. I'm just saying this is the one that's gonna.
I'll be the hype man, bro.
Encompass everything that I've like been working towards for the past 5 years. It's like every single process. It's like gonna be in one kind of thing. So I got a lot of different pieces coming. I'm moved into Cut and Sew.
So it sounds like this drop is about to be well thought out of. You said 5 years in the making?
Yeah, so yeah. Paradigm had turned 5, March 11th. Mm. And I told myself I'm actually not going to do a spring drop. I'm taking 6 months out. So sometime in like September or something, I'll have everything completed. I'm still in the sampling process, so.
How many times do you go through the sample process?
Usually I don't sample.
You don't?
No.
Really?
I do not sample.
Why not?
Up until recently, because I just always knew how to embellish clothing. Like, I know what you can do because I've bought so much clothes throughout my life. It's like I've seen it done before, so don't tell me you can't do it. What about
like the design of it? Like that shirt that you're wearing right now. Like, how did you know you was gonna like the Malcolm X?
Because
on that point,
this was inspired. Very funny. I was on eBay and I found vintage Disney shirts where they had embroidery coming out the side, and I was like, what can I do that like would make it some Paradigm shit? But that version of it, you could look it up on eBay. They used to make these handies, and it'll have like characters coming out like Mickey Mouse and stuff like that.
Okay,
yeah,
I'll check that shit out right now. It's for the low.
Yeah. Ain't nobody buying that. That joint be sitting there for like $30.
But yeah, but one thing I want to ask you, because now that I see the clothing in person, I see the hat, I see the shirt, it's very detailed, very well thought out of, and the material is real, you know, top tier. Like, how meticulous are you when it comes to that, when it comes to the designs and the fabrics and
I would say I focus more on, like, as of now, I've been, like, focusing on fabrics and stuff like that. I like stuff that are well-made, and it's just, like, I be reaching out to the people that make it the best. So it's, like, who makes the best shirts? I've probably used every manufacturer of that that's based out of the U.S. because all of my clothes... not all of it, but the majority of it is like based out of the U.S. manufactured in the U.S. I have some Canadian manufacturers, but I focus more on like the manufacturing process of it and less about like the fabrics. I don't know. I've just now been getting into that. But it's like this, like the people that have make this, like they've been making this thing for like 50 years. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it's like they're known for making this. So I just reach out to them like, all right, you do this, let's work. Like I said, I'm venturing out into cut and sew. I've also been...
Wait, what? Hold on. What is cut and sew? Real quick. I don't know what cut and sew is.
All right, so cut and sew is pretty much you come up with a pattern. You have a pattern. You have fabrics. And you cut the fabrics and you make literally whatever you want.
Got you. That's beast.
So I've been working on that. I actually sampled a pair. I sent him a photo of it. You feel me? One of the first people. but yeah, I'm like experimenting with like cuts this time. And I've been collecting clothes for a really long time. I know what I like to wear. And so I'm just focused on like that, like certain cuts and the way I like my jeans to stack. And yeah.
So that's like you trust more the manufacturer, right? Because they're known for certain things, and then not really worry about like the object itself or like the design of it. Because you know you can get that done pretty much anyone. You'd rather work with that makes a lot of fucking sense.
Yeah, like I focus less on design. Like right now, I can give you a random like. I don't know what I'm dropping in the fall. I have a couple pieces in mind, but I literally don't know. But I know I can do that very, very fast. So I'm like, why not just focus on this and then focus on that later? Because I'm always experimenting with the way I make clothes. So if you notice throughout the progression of the brand, all the embellishments, or not all of it, but the majority of it has been different. There's times where I've experimented with simulated process. There's times where I've experimented with water-based things. I've done embroidery. I've done embroidery on twill. I've done satin stitch embroidery with my own custom fabric. I like have kind of done it all in terms of like embellishing. So... Yeah.
That's deep. I need to get all my shit.
And this is all you doing this to yourself, right? This is all.
Yeah, pretty much for the most part. I'm like branching out now. I've said no too many times. I'm like, all right, man, let's do it.
What I noticed too is that, like you said, you drop in the fall, right? You have plans to drop a fall collection. Yeah. Do you even know what you're going to design yet?
No, I have one piece that's guaranteed to drop. Okay. This is the piece I've been working on the past couple months, like sampling and stuff like that. But other than that, I've like been looking into garment dyeing. So I want to experiment with that. I'm in talks with a manufacturer right now. So I want to experiment with that. And then I have another piece where I'm like sourcing fabric and it's going to be different than the other piece that I'm working on. But, yeah.
I think like for the most part of like y'all journeys, I think that y'all like two individuals who like been able to take criticism, like very like lightly, like not take it hard, put it hard on yourselves and be willing to like put another crack at it, do it again, learn from it. All right, cool. We taking it to the up and up now. You know what I mean? And I mean, personally, as men, we don't really take criticism that well. Men, a lot of men have, you know, a huge ego per se. And I mean, I guess what I'm really trying to dive into is how is it? How do you guys, being the creators that you guys are, doing the things that you guys do, you know, coming this far, like how is it that you guys like seek or take criticism, and how was that process as far as like, I guess letting go of the ego, you know? I feel like a lot of people out there, when they're listening, they're like, yeah, I can do this shit. Then they do it. And then, you know, it's not the best. You know what I mean? Or it's like not what to their expectation. Then they're like, fuck it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I feel like normally things like that, at least with me, resonates in a way where, like, as long as you true to who you are and you're like kind of slit, you see yourself in the way where, like, this is what it is, this is who I am, where nobody could, like, alter that. All that masculinity stuff really goes away, where, like, you don't really care about what people think about you. You don't really care about, you know, what people got to say about your, you know, your work or what you do or your collaborations, in the sense where, like, in art, you always get this thing where, like, oh, why don't you do this? Or I would have done that. And, you know, to me, at first, it was hard to take in, but at the end of the day, that's not a reflection of me. That's a reflection of them, you know? And as you grow up, you know, you seem to come more in tune with yourself and get to know yourself, and that's why your art gets deeper, so you start expressing more or whatever that is, you know? But now I'm at an age where, like, I collaborate all the time, and I feel like when you take that egotistic side of the way, or that masculinity, or at least know who you're working with, right? Because it's also that, the connection that you also exert, because sometimes people reciprocate that energy, you know? And reciprocation doesn't lead to anything, right? So it's really adapting to that audience, adapting to the person you're working with, and showing them that it's all that masculinity is not needed. At the end of the day, I just need you to be transparent, and we're going to achieve that. And I feel like when it comes to collaboration, when it comes to, like, making helping branding, helping marketing, helping strategy and things like that, the end goal is the message behind it. Is it translated or not? And when you put it like that, where you have a goal, nothing else matters but to achieve that goal, you know? And that's normally what helps me out, at least. And I feel like if you're able to be an example of that, and you're able to exert that and be like that for folks that you're collaborating in your community, be like that with folks that you see collaborating and they're asking you for insight because you've been doing it for years now, you know, it's important to also, you know, shine light on that, where, like, it doesn't need to be your way. You could find common ground, you know, ask, you know, questions differently, approach things different. But as long as, you know, I feel like you're keeping those lines, it helps me out, at least. Yeah, for sure.
So, G, what's for your journey? What was it like, you know, taking criticism after your few couple projects, and, like, also, like, you know, mastering that ego and being able to take that criticism and just move forward?
I keep good friends around me, you know, 'cause they're the people that I show it to. So, without them, I wouldn't be doing anything, really. So just, like, keeping good people around you, they're always going to keep it real with you, you feel me? So, yeah.
It's important because there's positive feedback as well, yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you don't want a whole bunch of yes men around you. Like, oh, yeah, that's dope. Oh,
yeah.
Like, you know, it's like every single piece.
You feel me? Like, I know people that, like, I've had very bad ideas before, like, horrible ideas looking back on it, like, but I've always kind of listened to them. Like, I'm like, nah, you know what? You're right. But sometimes you just gotta follow your gut.
Facts. Always gotta follow your gut. But it'd be crazy, though, because some bad ideas become, like, the fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, because we can't see it from, like, that perspective. Like, that shit trash. No. And then do it. Shit, this shit all right. This shit pretty fire.
Yeah, man. And one thing I want to touch on, too, was that you mentioned, EA, was energy, man, and when collaborating with people. When it comes to that, both of y'all, I guess this question could be for, but when it comes to that, do you work with people that one, they believe in their brand, you see the vision, and two, like, if their energy, like, meshes with y'all, like, is that, you know, something that, is, you know, that taken into consideration to come into collaborating?
Yeah. If, I feel like I have a decent full-time job, and it's, like, doing the job for me, and for collaborations and things like that, because of the amount of time I've been doing this, right? I've been doing this for quite some time, and I've worked with people who've paid for work, and I work for people who, out of the free, out of the love, or out of the connection I'm making, it's something I want to be a part of, right? And I feel like when it comes to that, I worked hard, right, as a first generation immigrant to get to where I'm at. I feel like it's privileged to say, like, I get to pick and choose who I work with at this point, whether it's event planning, whether it's strategy behind branding and things like that. And when I do that, I do it yes, because I do see the person achieving or, like, succeeding, right? But secondly, I also want to see that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of growth, because at the end of the day, I'm good, right? And it doesn't take much for me to water somebody else's plant. You know what I mean? It's something that I feel like should be given back in reciprocation in the community, especially if we want to see, like, our borough thrive, right? Especially coming from the Bronx and seeing people's dreams come true and being in such an environment where and when you throw events, you get to meet people through events. I met Joey through an event. I met Gene through an event. And it's one of those things where, like, at the time I collaborated with some folks from Uptown, also Traditional Records at the time, and Broquetti, who's a DJ now. And we just got together and we threw an event called Broquetti Bounce, right? And through that, we networked there, we met each other, and look at where we're at now. And when it comes to energy, really, it's go with your gut, you know, stay true. If it's one of those things where, like, the energy's off and you don't really have to do it, don't do it. But, like, if it's one of those things where it's, like, for work and you need to do it to get paid, you know, sometimes it's okay to not shake, like, take shit personal. It, you know, it's okay to take a step back, do whatever you got to do to achieve that, and keep it pushing, you know. But never lose focus on you. Never lose focus on what you want to do, and give back in the same way that you wish somebody gave back to you, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you 100%, because me and you, we just met recently, and, you know, you helped me launch my Seamless brand, Mass Effect. And I feel the same way about you, man. Real good energy, and I can see myself and you in a way. So that's something I always take into consideration, man. Like, I always like to read people first.
Yeah.
So I come across as, like, you know, low-key, reserved, but it's just like, all right, I'm going to see if this person's energy is right, and I'm gonna allow this energy into my space. So,
yeah.
And yeah, man, appreciate you, man, for, like, you know, really genuine, good energy, dude, man, for real.
It's dope, man. It was a dope collaborating with you, where in the sense where, like, it was really easy. It was really seamless. We were bouncing ideas back and forth, and whatever you shine light on or whatever came to topic, 2 to 3 days later, there was something new there on the board. You know what I mean? And it was fun, because at the end of the day, it was really translating what was something that you had, you know, an idea of, making that concrete, you know, and it's fire. I'm looking forward to it. Shit, you got me taking CMOS now on my 7th day. I tell you every single day, I'm like, yo, 7th day, hopefully my hair grow. I'm joking around, but it's I'm looking forward to it, because I'm as somebody who, right now, I'm about to turn 30 this year, and it's like, health is something you want to, you know, definitely be aware of, right? So taking, you know, I'm not sure if y'all done research and shit like that, obviously, but taking, like, even vitamins, pill form, is not that great for you. Your body don't end up consuming half of that. So, you know, taking it in a more natural way where I'm able to, you know, just jazz it up with some smoothie or something like that, it's easy for me. And it's also made me, like Gene said earlier, much more disciplined, in the sense where, like, every morning I have to wake up and do this. I no longer wake up and do my coffee. No, I'm doing my smoothie. Then I'm getting my shit together, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to it. Shit, I can't wait to see where the brand goes. You know, I'm super low-key, just like, you know, that's why we're super relatable. But, like, I'm going to be in the back doing what I got to do to, like, help you, because, you know, I believe in you. And, yo, it's something valuable for the community. You know what I mean? It's not something that, you know, people do to shit around or something like that. Not, it's something that, like, we could all, as beings, like, really benefit from.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. That's the goal, man, is to really, like, educate people and, you know, promote health and wellness as well, man. So,
yeah.
It's fire. It's fire.
Right on, my brother. Right on. Nah, I fuck with that CMOS shit, though. That CMOS shit is... I gotta get another bottle, but...
We got new flavors on the way, too.
Yeah, well, sir, I need some for my trip.
We got mango, pineapple, ginger, strawberry. Pineapple ginger go crazy.
It's really dope. Hey. Yo, so, I mean...
Man, I want to know the story behind EA and Gene, and also collaborations, if any.
Yeah.
All right.
If any?
Yeah, I'll have to...
So, me and EA, we met 2014.
Wow, back.
Broquete Bounce.
Yeah.
Legendary.
Legendary Bronx moment. yeah, we just like we spoke and then we just like suddenly became friends, and we spent a lot of time together, like sitting in like creative rooms together, where we both work on our stuff together, like we haven't sat down and fully started doing anything.
Nah.
There's a little, somebody's been a little busy.
No, not yet.
But, yeah, we got the thing we spoke about.
Yeah.
We can't say what it is yet.
Nah.
Damn, I'm over here like the tip of my seat.
It's dope. It's really dope. And I could kind of echo that with like meeting you through Burkhead Bonds, right? And just going through everything, whether it was our artistic friends, Wave Diesel, just being in his behind the scenes and all his music scenes, collaborating together, when it comes to like brands like Inner Circle Club and things like that, and like working in the back end, I feel like our dynamic has always been like interesting, because ever since we met, we kind of like clicked. I think at the time I was doing a brand called Yezra NYC back in 2011, and you were literally starting Paradigm, I think, at the time. Yes, and sir. Yeah, and we were just chopping up about it, and it's never been one of those spaces where it was always taking jabs at each other. It's never been one of those spaces where like, oh, you know, my clothing is better, whatever the case is. It's always been a space where like, yeah, what you doing? Oh, that's dope. And we give each other perspective, where it's never like, even criticism, to say it was criticism would be like a stretch. But it was always like what really like welcoming space regardless. And then kind of that flourished through like our relationship with Diesel, collaborating with like little projects with him. And then now we hang out almost on a every other week basis, where like we just hang out, whether it's my crib, the kitchen, whatever, living room, wherever we at. We just hang out, collaborate. You work on your project, I work on my project. Anything new I learn, I put you on, whatever, vice versa. But in a sense, you've always done like Adobe, and you've always done like a lot of like design work. So it's dope to almost at this point be almost like almost a student. If I could like be vulnerable and like really like share, where like, bro, every time you pull up and every time you show me things is dope, because it's an interesting perspective. And the fact that you take so much intent behind your work, and all the layers you apply to your work is really deep. And I always loved the approach you take with things. It's always well thought out. It's always a full circle, and you always have a story to tell, you know? And that's something I love, especially coming from the Bronx, and especially I'm seeing you flourish. And being with you for a long time, for like, what, since 2014-ish, is dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a different time in my life.
Yeah, but, so.
In both of our lives.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy, because I feel the same way about you. Like, I always feel like I'm learning with you, you know? Throughout everything. Like, you literally, like, saw everything from early.
So,
linking up at Zoe crib.
For real.
2014. I mean, that's not 2022 right now. That's not even, that's what's up though. Yeah, I managed to build a duo, a 1-2 punch within, what, 8 years? That's what's up, bro. And I think it goes to the overall aspect of what, like, this show is all about, is, like, bringing the people in your community, like, up with you. That's something that we cherish here. And to hear y'all not grow up with each other, but realize that y'all probably, like, you know, into the same shit, do this, that, and y'all bring each other up, constantly help each other out, especially Wave Diesel, who's, he's one of the best underground rappers not to be underground for so for not too long, all right? Because straight heat, you know what I'm saying? Straight heat. So the fact that y'all just linked up and then doing these things like that, bro, that's your flowers, bro. Just, that's wavy.
And y'all didn't know each other for, like, 2014 is a long time, but it's not, like, that long compared to, you know,
mm-hmm.
other friendships. But the fact that I was still able to grow creatively, you know what I'm saying, it's real dope, man. You can see the dynamic between y'all, like, I know why not, like, you know.
Yo, to be real, it's like you always need a team. You know what I mean? You need a team. You need a strong team. You need a team that y'all could, you know, give each other criticism and also have, like, high expectations with each other, because y'all know what y'all are capable of doing, you know? That's a fact, bro. And just, like, keeping it real, is this, we are in a society, for the most part, that is, like, we have to race alone. We have to do it alone. But it's not true. Nobody makes it dolo. You know what I mean? Kobe ain't winning his championships dolo.
And that kind of ties back to, you know, putting your ego aside, because, you know, I could be very prideful. I don't like asking for help, and it took me a while to really, like, learn how to, like, you know, set that aside, and because there's nothing wrong with asking for help, you know what I mean? And when you do it with a team, like you say, you go further. So,
yeah. Like, when I'm having my most creative moments, I'm probably with him.
And to speak, like, and to speak more to that is dope, because I feel like what helped me out a lot with that whole this collaboration overall and, like, interesting dynamic was our Batalito Fiesta crew. So it's me, Rob, and Misa, and it's an extension of that. It's not only us. It's, like, our close friends, where Anya's involved, Megan's involved, Liz is involved. So we have a couple folks, and when it comes to, like, venue choosing, when it comes to, like, digital art, when it comes to, like, even Batalito flavors, believe it or not, sometimes we've argued over, like, what type of flavors we would have in an event. But it's important to have that space where you're able to trust what you're going to say isn't going to be taken with any ill intent, right? And to have that dynamic, even with the Patelito crew and just evolving. We've been doing it for, like, 4 years now. We've had over, like, 10, 11 events. Fuck COVID, by the way. but aside from that, it's interesting because look how far we come. Look how great it is. Look how great of a event place we build, you know? And it's one of those things where, like, if I would have taken the criticism too hardly, or if one of the guys would have, or, like, if somebody would have, you know, been too egotistical and not kind of, like, meet each other and have, like, common grounds and things like that, it kind of not been what it is now, right? And we had a place now where we literally thrown ideas back and forth. It's a group chat, and it's great. It's whatever we want goes, we collaborate, whatever, you know, one of us don't like, we express it with no problem. And it's important for that to happen, because that's how you get your best work. You know, you don't need, like, Lil said early, any yes men around, right? You don't need those type of, but you need some an environment where, like Gene said earlier, to the people around you, having your close friends, making sure that you're able to express yourself however you want, and not take it in with any, like, grain of salt, you know?
That's what we do, bro. That's what we do.
Uptown Baby.
Yeah, already. Let's get
BX
it.
BX coming up.
Yeah, so one question too I wanted to ask you, now that I see the pieces in person, and the quality of the pieces at that, do you consider, you know, your brand to be streetwear? And, you know, what's your definition of that? Because I feel like now that's such an ambiguous term. You see, you know, a couple other, you know, designers and brands like Ame, Kift, you know, Noah, and it's like kind of a mix of high end, also too, like Verge is probably like the innovator with Off-White, you know, with that high end, you know, streetwear. So, you know, what do you consider your brand to be like? Do you throw that under the umbrella of streetwear?
Yeah, but it's because it's weird, because it's like, I don't know. It's just clothes, bro, at the end of the day. And it doesn't matter who's making it, as long as somebody else appreciates it. You feel me? And it actually started long, long ago. And it's pretty much like what people wear every day. If you ever look at any styles that you wear, think about what it's made for. Mm-hmm. Like, those is made to play basketball. Your bucket hat is for the sun. You feel me? Denim for working. And it's just the clothes that everyday people wear. And, like, if you make a sweatsuit, it's streetwear at the end of the day. But, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. You see, and that's actually a good point, because, like, you look at, like, one prime example to me is Jerry Lorenzo, right? Like, you see his lineups, they're real simple, but yet clean, but they're just regular clothing garments, but that's priced outrageously, you know what I mean?
Okay, you see, that I don't agree with. Mm. There's stuff that I feel like there's fashion and then there's streetwear. Mm.
Wait, so streetwear can be fashion?
No, there's high fashion and then there's streetwear. There's, all right. That world is like, I don't know.
Break it down.
Exactly. Streetwear comes from the everyday people. High fashion is for the people who can really afford that stuff. Okay. It doesn't matter who it is. Anybody that just can't afford that. And think about how many of those people really are out there compared to the people that aren't. Streetwear is more of like, I'm a skateboarder and I'm into whatever else, he's into gaming. So now he fuses gaming with streetwear. And it's just the person he is, that he reads manga and it's just that kind of stuff, you know? But it could be anybody. There'd be people who do woodworking and they'll make clothing line for woodworkers and it becomes everyday streetwear because they can just wear that and a hoodie and it looks like streetwear.
Example, Carhartt.
You know? So that becomes like styles. So that's where streetwear is. And then high fashion is like all of that, but at a higher level. Where streetwear focuses on hype, high fashion focuses on price point. So unfortunately, I land more towards like streetwear than high fashion. Because I manufacture in the U.S., it makes it seem like I'm trying to be that, but I'm not. I want the kind of person that just, like, could save their money, do some favors, save your money, and you could be able to buy that. It's not, like, crazy bread, like, really crazy. It's a pair of sneakers, and I feel like I can command that in terms of quality of product. But I don't know. It's weird. I'm the guy that, like, reads his books, bro. And I take walks a lot, you know? So I like my jacket to be, like, waterproof. You feel me? Because sometimes I just got to go out for a walk. And I used to walk dogs. I used to be out there in all sorts of fucking crazy weather. So,
And you know how New York weather could be, too.
You feel me? Like, all weather.
Right.
So, yeah, it's like, that's the stuff I kind of care about. But it's just like, I play basketball too, so I want to infuse that. And then I read books, so it's like Malcolm X on my thing. And then I love baseball hats, so I made a fitted. The first fitted I made was in like 2019, early 2019, before the fitted hype. So, yeah, I like care about that kind of stuff. I wear Levi's. I've been wearing these shits since I was a kid. You feel me? Still wearing my J's. I don't care. You feel me? DMPs. Fuck out of here. You feel me? DMPs with my own fitted. You feel me? But, yeah, it's like the stuff I care about. That's where I'm at with that.
So, and I feel like from the outside, like, looking in, it's definitely translated in the type of like collections you dropped, where like I remember this one, like you mentioned, the 76ers inspiration. I remember one you dropped with Emancipate Yourself, and that was a while ago, right? And it's a lot about the message behind it, where like even down to the essentials. I remember years ago I bought a cotton orange tea, and when I felt it, I was like, oh, this is gonna last me a while. And it's the intention behind the work that you do, right? And the collections you put out, and the detail, like you said. So it's pretty dope from the outside looking in, and hearing you say that, it really translates in like what you do, where like you're able to connect some type of like utility wear, everyday work life type of situation with like good quality clothing, for sure.
Yeah. The one thing that you ain't
I'm
said.
I'm still a hype beast, though.
You got Supreme pillows in the couch at the crib.
I got a lot of polo.
That's awesome.
Nah, that's dope. But one thing that EA said, the word that stuck out to me is intention. And, you know, just seeing the clothing, like I said, you're very intentional with all the pieces. And that's, you know, that's important, you know, to have intent and purpose in everything you do when it comes to design and just everything in life. So, yeah. I like that, you know what I mean? That you're very intentional with, you know, with your clothes and your art.
Be you, be real.
It is.
Full circle.
It's a way of life.
Full circle.
Lifestyle.
Ryan.
So this
is got us here.
Kukos got us here.
I wanna talk about the Kukos, man, because we got, not only does he have the Platelitos, he has.
Yeah, this shit's wavy. So I'm not sure if you everywhere is different, right? It's different where you grow up at. I'm not sure if maybe like in Miami or maybe like in other sides of the US they have these, but growing up we have Nemos, we had Nutcrackers, people used to sell them outside their freaking trucks, outside their bro. Day to day, you have people going and walking in parks, just selling with their kids sometimes, just dragging a cooler, selling nutties, selling margaritas. And growing up and just seeing that even on the block, selling that out like the trunk of their cars, selling that in the block, and being a vibe in that vibe and growing up and actually buying my own nutties, right? Because that was the shit that you used to cop.
Nutties.
With no ID.
The nutties. Was,
that was the first.
Had
no
to
ID.
Go.
Let me get
that's
it.
That's your first introduction.
That's where you had to go.
So
that's the first type of liquor you drink.
That was the pregame right there. That was the pregame, bro. So like being a part of that, I really wanna. I'm super low key, right? And with edibles overall, you get edibles, and it's really hit or miss sometimes. Sometimes they OD, sometimes they're cool, sometimes not enough, sometimes it's overpricey, right? And I feel like participating in events and especially like trying to like just go out and just have a good time. Smoking sometimes take away from that, and what's best to like infuse THC with some alcohol. And that's how kind of like the cuco came about, where el cuco is a traditional in the Caribbean. I feel like it doesn't even have to be Dominican, where it's monster overall, right? The monster under your bed or whatever the case is. And the whole point behind it is for it to really catch you sleeping, right? Quote unquote. So it's a little.
Oh my god!
So it's a little concept behind it, and I love it, right? It's super affordable. We have the 8 ounce bottles that come with 125 milligrams. I feel like more than enough. And if you are the type to have a high tolerance, you can always buy a second one, right?
Double up.
And the flavors, I try to always introduce new flavors. And the intention behind it is really to like cut down on the smoking and have a good time. Like really take a moment to like enjoy shit how we used to and keep the tradition alive type shit with a sense of modernization where like now it's infused with THC, right? And it's over to bring that alive.
And you selling it like the niggas in the streets and the coolers, you going around parks?
No, Sundays you're going to catch me coming soon. Going to have to follow the page, El Cuco Nemo, right? You better have to get a referral.
Cuco, how you spell Cuco? For people that don't speak Spanish. We're inclusive here.
I got you. I got to visualize it. ELKUKONEMO. That's El Cuco Nemo. And it's a private page. You're going to have to get a referral. So make sure you hit somebody up because somebody's watching. can't do that, right? But it's really dope. It's we have different flavors. It's $15 for the 8 ounces, and you get the combo if you buy two, $25 for each one. I mean for the combo of two. And it's dope. I'm gonna be around. I'm gonna visit different parks, uptown area this summer. Stay tuned if you follow the page. Just don't say nothing. Don't post it up.
It's going up this summer.
Yesterday's price is not today's price.
I heard the cuco goes to the cuca.
Oh man, everybody loves it. From the cucos to the cucas, everybody loves it.
Yo, so we just to round off, you know, we ask all of our guests this when they come on. It's what I guess we sort of answered it because you guys are super creative and like speak from the heart. So it was like every answer that I gave was like fucking dope. But what makes you be you and be real?
I go. So me personally, what really makes me is who I stem from, right? Where I stem from, where I came from, my roots, and how I exemplify that and how I could be an example of that, whether it's I'm a hardworking mom or whether it's a hardworking father, whether it's what I want to see in the community, but ultimately what fills your cup up, right? Cup in the sense of what fulfills you, what makes you you, and sticking to that regardless of what people say, regardless of what people do, because at the end of the day, if you're not giving the world an opportunity to see you and see you in the light, it's robbing all of us, but it's also robbing you because you're not ever going to see that reality. You're never going to see that perspective. And to consider the other end of things, and it's also well to like be comfortable enough to take yourself out the spotlight and make room for somebody else to shine on it and help that happen, right? But seeing that work, and it's definitely at least a part of me where I'm able to relate to my roots and be real to who I am and what feeds me.
What was the question? Sorry.
What? The glucose is killing right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the smoke has arrived.
Yeah. The question was, what makes you be you, Biro?
Discipline, like I said earlier. I feel like that.
I just don't know what to do, my friends. babe. Make a break, cause this one not juju. This is my girl, don't play me like the moon. I know she act like sick. I be rhymes, you know I. We could kick it like I be JJ Okocha. Just a fine brown girl, and she said she from Kenya. The way she got my back, like say I'd ride a car.